I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, and Holy Spirit, on this third Advent Sunday, we stand in your awesome presence with immense gratitude and great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all. Lord, we worship you. Please forgive us when we make Christmas holiday more about receiving new gifts and parties than offering gifts to worship Jesus. Please shape our church to be a generous people to offer ourselves, our wealth, our time, and a word of kindness to a lonely soul nearby, that we all experience the goodness of God in a moment of need. Lord, we pray for joy in our hearts, hope in our God, love to forgive, and peace to extend. We eagerly pray for salvation of all our family and our friends. We pray for food for the hungry, love for the unlovable, healing for the sick, hope for the hurting, and protection for the vulnerable. Lord, we pray for our congregation to receive a fresh word in this Christmas season. We ask to make the good news of great joy a reality in our daily lives, so that others might see your people like lighted trees pointing to Christ alone. Lord, we know one day that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we know that peace on earth will only come when hearts find peace with you. Lord, we pray for the gospel to go forth to all nations. You are our light. You are still our joy. You are still our peace. You are no longer a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. You are God with us. We love you, Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we remain standing, let us read from God's word today. The key verses of today's scripture was read during the Advent candle lighting, but let's read the fuller context in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, reading from the ESV translation. Please follow along on the PowerPoint, and I invite you to highlight parts by boldly reading the pink words. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. And the angel said to them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth
among those with whom he is pleased. And the angels went away with them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another,
Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen
as it had been told to them. May God bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Good morning. I am Pastor Sandy, and I am so glad that you have chosen to join us today at Rutgers Community Christian Church. Today's Advent candle is different from the previous weeks. The candle is pink to represent joy. So today we will reflect on why the birth of Jesus brings us not only joy, but great joy. For most people, both churched and unchurched, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. The season is full of cheerful music, festive decorations, and colorful lights. We cherish family traditions and loving memories. We enjoy happy reunions and gift exchanges. We expect joy. Joy is something we all desire, and all people may go to many lengths to acquire it. But of course, there are things that can steal our joy. Things like holiday shopping, strained relationships, final exams, work pressures, and serious illnesses. Holiday blues are real. And if this resonates with you, please reach out for prayer, support, and friendship. May the Lord comfort you and restore your joy through his word. Let me frame the big picture of today's sermon. The people of God have been waiting a long time for God to fulfill his promises told to the prophets, and the time has come. Since all of creation had rebelled against God in Genesis 3, mankind has known that we have a serious problem and has been waiting for a solution of redemption. Finally, the time has arrived. Redemption was coming and salvation is here. So the wait is over, God's promises came true, and we have reason to celebrate great joy. God sent angels to announce news. In our scripture today, the news would reach a group of perhaps ordinary shepherds. News about Jesus' birth is not only news, it is good news. It is not only good news, but it's good news of joy. It's not only good news of joy, it is good news of great joy. Not only good news of great joy, but good news of great joy for all people. And this is the good news. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. The Savior is born. But I've been curious all my life about this story. I've been trained up since my youth to read the Bible with many questions, to examine the scriptures like a Berean in Acts, to search for truth and context, and not rest my assumptions to be my final answer. So the question I ponder with you today is this: why did God choose such an important message to be given to a group of shepherds? How would they resonate with the magnitude of great joy? It seems like a detail that might carry more significance in God's grand design. So we will go into this a little later, as well as what it means for all people. But let's first focus on joy. Every year, Christian churches celebrate the nativity story with joy. But when Mary and Joseph were living it out, they faced circumstances that threatened their joy. And some of the common joy stealers also affect us today. What can steal our joy? I will mention three pairs. First, stress and anxiety. Consider this. Mary was an innocent teenager, a girl, of 14 years old around. She was betrothed in a year-long contracted engagement without benefits. Then the angel Gabriel appears and proclaims to her, "You will be pregnant and give birth to the Son of God." Call that stress. Mary was confused. How can this be? I've never even been with a man. This is a highly stressful situation. What will my parents think? What will Joseph think? When the baby came to term, a census forced them to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She had to ride on a donkey on rugged roads, full term, for 3 days. And we are fortunate that her water didn't break. When they arrived, the town was inundated with returnees for the census, and there were no vacancies. Bewildered and traumatized by her innocence and her first pregnancy, she gave birth to a baby with no midwife, no mother to help her, no clean room, but perhaps a stable, no crib, but a manger. Statistically, first childbirths are longer to deliver. This is no woman's ideal birthing plan. Their stress was intense, and somehow I doubt that they were thrilled with the plan. Another big joy stealer is, secondly, fear and worry. Consider this: fear appears 7 times in this birth account. Fear would be a natural reaction towards unexpected angels appearing, bright lights glowing in a peaceful night, and pronouncements of shocking news. When the angels appear to each of them, to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, to the shepherds, they were all frightened. Mary was chosen in God's plan, and despite the worry and the fear, she chose to trust God. "I don't understand this situation. I can't figure it all out, but I trust God will work it out." This was Mary's response: trust God and accept his plan. Luke 1:38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is Mary's words. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that we would never plan, and it can scare the life out of you. In fact, it can steal all your joy, yet it is God's plan for us to endure it, to wait for him, to trust him to provide and find him faithful. And that was Mary's response: trust God and accept his plan. Now, the third big joy stealer is hurt and resentment. Consider this: hurt came to Mary and Joseph from being judged and misunderstood, enduring embarrassment, gossip, and shame. Hurt can lead to a loss of all joy. When a person cannot recover from deep hurt and rejection, it can lead to a lifelong resentment and bitterness. It is a big joy stealer. Do you resonate with this? Well, I do. An unresolved hurt that constantly replay over and over in someone's mind and heart can often lead to mental health struggles. Instead of dwelling in hurt, Mary rushed to visit her cousin Elizabeth in her advanced years, who was also pregnant with her own miracle baby. In utero, the unborn John the Baptist meets the unborn Jesus, and he leaped for joy. What could Mary do to protect herself from hurt and drama. God provided good company for Mary. For 3 months, she stayed with Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed her daily as God cared for the two. During this Christmas, is something stealing your joy? Is it anxieties, fear, worries, or lingering hurt? Henry Nguyen said, "Joy does not simply happen. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. We can choose joy like Mary by trusting God and accepting his plan. We can choose joy despite the feelings and the circumstances. If we live with things beyond our control, we can choose to rest in his lasting state of joy and peace from God. If we cannot change our actual life situations, God can make it better when we choose better mental and spiritual strategies to cope and trust that God loves us immensely. That will never change. Surround yourself with joyful people who will bless you rather than to drain you." Mary chose to stick closer to Elizabeth. Forgive the people who hurt you and don't keep resenting. Raise your hopes, but lower your expectations. Be proactive to take care of your soul. Choose to practice the presence of God in the daily grind. A respected pastor named Sam Storms is often quoted saying, "Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God." Psalm 16:11 affirms that there is fullness of joy in the presence of God. This implies that joy is present when God is present, regardless whether suffering is there or not. So many testimonies from persecuted Christians suffering in prisons have expressed their joy in suffering as God was always with them at all times. If we were asked to offer an alternative, happier version of Jesus' birth, perhaps he would be born in the comforts in a palace to mature, influential parents, to be welcomed by someone other than lowly shepherds and foreign wise men, and definitely eliminate King Herod from the cast of characters and his manhunt to kill baby boys in search of the Christ child. But in God's beautiful plan and wisdom, he wrote this storyline. Mary and Joseph's childbirthing was certainly not free of suffering, and God fulfilled every prophecy. God was present throughout, and when Jesus was born, God became human. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, going into our scripture today, this scene opens on the fields outside of Bethlehem, where shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks at night, dark and relatively peaceful. A side note, not in this text, as night falls, the young lambs cannot see their mother in the dark, so they resort to intermittent baaing to find each other. So otherwise, it was a silent night, but not completely with the sounds of sheep. Then suddenly, amidst the darkness of the night, a lightning angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord was shining brightly around them. Naturally, they were startled and they were frightened. The text says they felt great fear. This is brilliant storytelling, Dr. Luke. Great fear will soon be replaced with great joy in contrast. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This is the birth announcement. How would this impact these shepherds? This day, a Savior is born in the city of David, also known as Bethlehem. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And you will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What would this mean to a field shepherd? It was personal. A Savior is born to you. It does not say born to Mary and Joseph, born to you. He will be your Savior. Isaiah 9:6, as sung in Handel's Messiah, "For unto us a child is born, a son, unto us a son is given." The baby Jesus did not just belong to Mary and Joseph. God provided this Savior for us, and talking to the shepherds, to you who tend the flock. Then the story continues. Suddenly, joining the angel is a multitude of angels. I think it's an awesome flash mob. They break out in praise. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. And you may also be familiar with an alternative translations, "goodwill to men" from the King James, or "on whom his favor rests" in the NIV. Then after the angels left, the shepherds decided quickly, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see." And they hurried while it was still dark at night to go find Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus wrapped in cloth and lying in the manger. And so it appears they knew exactly where to go at night without knocking on the doors of all the sleeping people to find the newborn Savior. And these are clues for us to consider as we ask the question, who were the Bethlehem shepherds? There are two possibilities. Were they, first of all, the ordinary, poor, lowly, unnamed shepherds? This is the traditional perspective played out in the annual Christmas pageants of the nativity scene. Why would God choose a little town's shepherds for the angels' good news of great joy that a Savior has been born? They are portrayed as humble, uneducated, low-skilled sheep farmers. I believe they have heard about the prophecies of the Messiah. I believe they would be mildly happy to know that there was a baby born, but would they have been motivated enough to run to town at night to see this baby? Now, another option is this. Were these the shepherds that were highly trained Levitical shepherds, chosen to raise the temple flocks to be used as sacrificial lambs? According to a Jewish scholar, Alfred Edersheim, who became a Christ follower and taught biblical theology in Scotland and wrote the book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, he said that the Bethlehem shepherds were not ordinary shepherds. as they were responsible for raising unblemished lambs for the Passover sacrifices at the Jewish temple. With Bethlehem being located about 5.5 miles south of Jerusalem, this was the perfect location to raise these sacrificial lambs. According to the Mishnah, this is the Jewish oral laws and traditions, the sacrificial lambs were to be 1 year old, male, and unblemished. That means no broken bones, no injuries. And we can see that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, 1 Peter 1, verse 19, that they must be unblemished, perfect. These special lambs were born in a special sterile place and set apart at birth. They must remain outdoors for 365 days a year. And then at the appropriate time, the high priest would come and inspect the unblemished lamb. Then these lambs were amazingly wrapped in swaddling cloths and put in a manger to be protected from injury. They were then carried up, swaddled, to the temple to be sacrificed on the Sabbath or on the Passover. So these Bethlehem shepherds were the ones who were in charge of these little lambs born at Migdal Eder, that is, the Tower of the Flock. And there are scriptures that talk about Migdal Eder from Micah 4, Genesis 35. The ruins still exist today. They still exist where the 4th century church bishop Eusebius had written, exactly 1 mile, 1 Roman mile due east from Bethlehem. Some believe that the baby Jesus was born at this location rather than the one marked out at the Holy Land for the tourists. The generations of Bethlehem shepherds risked their lives to protect their sacred flocks. So how amazing that these shepherds were chosen to look after Jesus on that holy night. Jesus was swaddled and placed in a manger like their lambs. It foreshadowed what this baby was going to do as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. From John 1:29. Oh, how significant this detail would be. These are the Bethlehem shepherds. Where else would Jesus be born if not in Bethlehem among the sacred temple flocks? This sign surely meant a lot to Levitical shepherds, for they understood what it meant when the angel appeared and mentioned about the swaddled baby in a manger. They knew exactly where to find that manger that night. And that's why they ran to find the Christ, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, will sacrifice his life to atone for the sins of all. So praise the Lord that spiritual awakening is taking place in Israel, and more teaching of Yeshua and the prophecies are connecting the tapestry of discovering that Messiah, their Messiah. Discovering this insight from among Jewish believers has changed the way I look at the Nativity, has changed the way I look at the shepherds, and ultimately has changed the way I deeply appreciate the Lord. The signs testify that our God is true. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. He will be from the tower of the flock, the Migdal Eder. The Passover lamb came from this temple flock. And the unblemished lamb in swaddling cloth was placed in a manger as the Lamb of God. Among many more signs and fulfilled prophecies. This is why we can have great joy, because our God is true and faithful. Joy relies on Christ, not on our circumstances. He promised to send a Redeemer, a Savior, and a Deliverer, and he kept his word. Against all adversity, we have great joy in God's amazing love. God is good. Christ has come and salvation is here. The joy of his birth leads to the joy of our salvation. We share the gospel, the good news of great joy to all people. New parents delight to tell the world about the birth of their own little babies. How much more should we proclaim the birth of God's Son? Proclaim the same good news told to the shepherds that first Christmas Eve. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I pray that God would move us to know Christ, to choose to share the gift of contagious joy to all people. We are in his joy. We are in his presence. God is with us. This Christmas, if you would like to receive prayer, to experience God's great joy, and receive true joy by confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, please approach any of our leaders for prayer after the service. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are true and faithful. You have promised good words, promised things that cause your people to wait many centuries. And it came true. Thank you that you spoke to the shepherds, for they knew what this baby was destined for, that his life would be given for the salvation, for the forgiveness of sin of all. Thank you, Lord, that we have received this good gift, that we have received this good news of great joy for all people. We pray in your name. Amen.